This is Will's Band of the Week for April 8th, 2012. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, live in studio with Grant.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for being here, Grant.
Absolutely.
Barrett forgot that he was going somewhere for Easter, and we were gone for most of the week last week, right?
Yes.
So this is going to be your podcast this week. We're going to do sort of a stuff that you might have missed. That's going to be my theme, okay? Things you might have missed, and we're here to tell you about them. And before that, let's give the contact information. You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the webpage, willsband.net. You can also contact us through the social media, Facebook and Twitter. That's the social media, right?
Yes.
There's probably about 10 or 20 other social medias that we are not available on. So I hope we're not getting too far behind. Do you think we are?
No, I think Facebook and Twitter are the only ones that anyone, I don't know.
If you've got those, you've got like 90% covered, right?
Right. Yes, I think so.
Okay, and you can also download the podcast through iTunes, of course, or the Stitcher app. And now we have this Pinterest page where there are all kinds of beautiful pieces of what we consider artwork. And that's it. That's the contact information. So feel free to contact us. Also, feel free to leave a comment on iTunes, like a review that says, you know, for example, these guys are better than NPR. Something like that would be good, right?
Absolutely, yes.
All right, that's what people should do. And we're going to be efficient this week. We're not going to babble on and on. You know, we would never want to do that, right? We don't want to waste the people's time.
No.
Right?
This is very serious.
Yeah. So, well, there was a death this week that was not music related, but even like before we started recording this, the news only came out like a couple hours ago, I think. Mike Wallace died, the famous newsman. Did you ever hear of Mike Wallace before?
No, I can't say I have.
Well, he was, in my mind, at least in my experience, the first sort of really critical investigative journalist, you know, that sort of made an impression on me when 60 Minutes started, which I'm going to get this all wrong, but probably in the, it was probably still the 70s when, it was probably in the 70s that the TV show 60 Minutes started. And I would guess that from the very beginning, one of the first reporters was Mike Wallace. And he would always do these segments where he would just grill people. And I always thought that was really cool. So I always had a lot of respect for him as a journalist. And he was something like 93, I think. So there is your non-music related death of the week. But that wasn't all, was it?
And now it's time for the death of the week.
Jim Marshall, who started the Marshall Amplification Company, died this week at the age of 88. And Marshall amps, I mean, this is as big of a rock and roll thing, you know, as like a Fender guitar or a Gibson guitar, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I mean, even though you you don't have a Marshall, but you're pretty familiar with Marshalls, right?
Yes, I am.
And we were talking about this a little bit earlier before we started recording, that back in the 70s, Marshalls were, you know, it was the heavy metal amplifier. And, you know, maybe it still is, but it's interesting because your perspective of the sound that is heavy metal is a little different from mine, because it seems like what is now heavy metal has a lot more of that kind of crunchy, high treble, high bass, less mid-range kind of sound, right?
Yeah.
Whereas it was kind of a wall of more mid-range sound back in the 70s and the 80s. But just the whole idea of Marshall stacks, you know, and bands would have, there would be bands that would have, you know, not just a you know, your basic Marshall stack of like two cabinets with a Marshall head. there would be bands that would have like a wall of Marshalls behind them. Like, that's how sort of iconic the Marshall was. I always wondered, you know, if you have a giant stack, like a, there'd be a, like a, like maybe Van Halen or somebody like that, they would have maybe like 24 Marshall cabinets like behind them, you know?
Yeah.
And I always wondered, you know, are, is there really sound coming through all those cabinets, or are they mainly just like decoration? And, you know, maybe the sound is coming out of a couple of them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the monitors and the big PA.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Van Halen uses like, well, he has his own signature amps now.
Uh-huh.
But they're like based off an older PV.
A PV?
Yeah.
Did they, but they, I think they used Marshalls in their heyday.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know. I know what he uses currently is like based off the 5150, I think is what it's called. And then they have another one like that. It's called the 6505.
That's a PV?
Yeah. Those are like, I don't know, that's closer to the modern metal sound, I think.
Hmm. Well, anyway, interesting that this, the Jim Marshall just passed away this week after we talked about the Marshall fridge last week, the Marshall amp faced refrigerator.
Yeah, that's because it's, isn't it their 100th anniversary this year?
Oh.
Marshall? I think so.
How would it be their 100th, though, if Jim Marshall died at the age of 88?
Oh, well, you know, it's, oh, no, it's not, maybe 50th?
That makes more sense.
If they started, yeah, in the 60s.
It couldn't have been the 100th 50th anniversary.
Yeah, no,
I don't think they were making
100.
Marshalls in like, 1912.
Yeah. That'd
yeah.
be pretty cool.
But, that would yeah. be, yeah.
No, 50th anniversary.
Yeah, 50th.
A lot more.
Right. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So I was trying to think, well, what are we going to play to sort of show, to demonstrate the Marshall sound? So I found this video on YouTube, which we'll give the, you know, like the story because people can't see the video. But this guy comes out and he's playing an amp and saying it sounds really cool. And but it's this kind of little amp. And then midway through the video, a guy wheels in a big Marshall and just blows him away with the Marshall. So here we go.
Who got my new amp, man? It's fucking awesome!
Marshall's being wheeled in right now. That's a Marshall right there. You know, it's kind of no mistaking it, right? I mean, that's just a Marshall.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose there are other amps. There were other British. There was a amp company called Laney. Do you remember those? Do you know anything about those?
Yeah.
And they were, it's kind of like a tube amp that's similar to a Marshall. But it just seemed like, you know, anything after Marshall's was sort of a Marshall imitator, if you're going for that sound.
Even though Marshalls themselves were imitators of Fenders.
Oh, you were saying that it was modeled after a modified Fender Bassman?
I think so. I mean, that's what I've heard. I think the first one, the first amps they made, I know, were like non-master volume. So the preamp gain is sort of like the same thing as the power amp gain. I'm not sure exactly how that works electronically, but basically at low volumes it would be clean. But when you turn it up, it gets really loud and also distorted.
Well, it certainly was a signature and still is a signature sound. So this video, if you want to see the video of what you just heard, it's titled "Guy Got His New Amp, Then a Marshall 1987X Comes Out." So I don't know what 1987X means, whether that's the year it's from or whether that's like a model number or what.
Those are the 100-watt ones, I think.
Well, it certainly produces a lot of volume. So there you go, Death of the Week, Jim Marshall. All right, I don't know if there was any other significant music news, so let's go to the music. And first thing I've got, there's this band called Dunes, and this is literally flying under the radar. Not literally, it's figuratively flying under the radar. This album is called Noctiluca. I'm going to say that's how you pronounce it, even though I don't know for sure. And I believe they're from L.A. You can't find out a lot about them without searching a lot, so I didn't really find out too much. Just kind of that they formed in Los Angeles, and I think they've been around for a little while. This is their second album, I believe, and they were in some... One thing I did find out is that they've been... The members of this band were in some other bands that were more like louder punk rock type bands before they formed this band. And they're kind of a, I don't know, not particularly melodic, but kind of interesting, murky, a little reverb-y, just kind of interesting band to listen to. So I thought it'd be worth mentioning. So let's play something from Dunes. This one's called Red Gold. That's Dunes, so it doesn't really hit you with immediate hooks, but in my case, it was interesting enough that I wanted to listen to it a few more times, and I thought it was pretty interesting. So here's another one called Living Comfortably.
Thank you.
That's a three-person band. Just your basic guitar, bass, and drums. Kind of a lot of chorus on the guitar. A lot of reverb. And vocals are a little buried, I think, on purpose. And I think it's pretty interesting. So here's one more from Dunes. This one is called Falling. Dunes, the album is called Noctiluca. I think I'm pronouncing that right?
Yeah, it looks right.
Yeah, so yeah, there you go. That's our first feature of the week. And we have a couple more because I thought, you know, on these weeks that we don't have Barrett or Chris available, I always have like these little things that I thought that might be fun to talk about that we, you know, they don't make it to the full podcast. So that would include when EPs come out by somebody who's worth discussing, right?
Yes.
And so one of them is this band called A Place to Bury Strangers, which I actually had heard of. You know, they've got a couple albums. I think they have two albums, right? And now they have a new EP. And you hadn't heard of them until recently, but then you saw them live and thought they were cool, right?
Yes.
So you want to tell us a little bit about them?
They're a band from Brooklyn, I think. Yeah, and yeah, the lead singer and guitarist named Oliver Ackerman runs a company that makes guitar pedals, and I guess part of him doing that, he's in a band, and they have shows there at the factory where they make pedals.
Oh, you mean by, like, they host other bands,
yeah,
too?
It's called Death by Audio. Mm-hmm.
So it's like a factory and music venue?
Yeah, and, wow, and a record label and a recording studio.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty cool. They record pretty much all their stuff themselves, I think.
Are there any other bands that we would have heard of who are recorded by Death by Audio or are affiliated with them?
Yeah, I can't think of any bands that recorded there. I know Jeff the Brotherhood frequently plays at Death by Audio, though.
Okay. And I mentioned this to you, I think, that when I first heard this band, my immediate point of reference was the Jesus and Mary Chain. You know, I'm going back to the 80s now. But just basically kind of a noise rock band, but with kind of pop underpinnings, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And pretty cool band, though. But your mom didn't like them live, right? Because she thought they were like they hurt her ears literally because they had like this like super feedback type sound.
It was great.
Right?
It was great.
And you,
it was awesome.
You, that didn't bother you at all.
Not at all. I really liked it.
You and your friend liked them a lot, right?
Yes.
So the new EP is called Onwards to the Wall, and it's 5 songs. And what do you think we should start with?
How about track 2, So Far Away?
Place to Bury Strangers. And we probably don't have to warn the listeners because they know by now that it's very dangerous to turn that up loud because you could damage your hearing, right? But it might be fun too.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's cool. It's good. I think I'd like to play the title track. This is Onwards to the Wall.
Thank you.
That's a Place to Bury Strangers. That was the title track from the EP called Onwards to the Wall. And we think they have a full-length album coming out in a couple months, maybe, right?
Yep.
So that's cool. One thing I like about this band, I like their bass. As a bass player, I like their bass. As a guitar player, you like their guitar, right?
Yes.
So that's good.
Very much.
So you think singers would like their singer? I don't know. Maybe not, but... And their drummer's good too, right? I mean, they're a really, really tight band. I can just see them being like pretty powerful driving rock. Didn't they have some lighting effects too live?
Oh, yeah, they did. They had a strobe light for one song. They had like at least like three projectors that were like going under the wall opposite of the stage, doing like a light show type thing. It was pretty cool.
That sounds pretty cool. So, that's it. A Place to Bury Strangers. So we've got one more, and this is one of those. We're going to slow it down now. The guy from Grizzly Bear named Daniel Rossen. He also has an EP out called... I don't know if he's going to do a whole album or not, but he's got this EP called Silent Hour, Golden Mile. And it's one of these kind of quiet things that you just put on and don't think about it, and then... you just realize that it's pretty good. So I kind of think the same thing about the band Grizzly Bear. Whenever I listen to something of theirs, at first I really just don't think that much of it. Then I realize, well, there's something about it. They're good songwriters, or I think that's what it is. And it creeps up on you and you like it. So here's one from Daniel Rossen called Silent Song. Daniel Rossen. Now let's play one more. This one is called Saint Nothing. Thank you. That's Daniel Rossin. A little contrast to A Place to Bury Strangers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, we're not restricted to just one kind of sound on this podcast. Even though it's all just indie rock, so it all sounds the same, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, there's your diversity of musical choice for the week. Dunes, A Place to Bury Strangers, and Daniel Rossin. If you can't find something out of that group that you like, then what does that say about you?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. All right, just thought I'd pose that philosophical question. And that's all we've got. But Barrett and I, and hopefully Chris, I think we'll try to get Chris, next week we'll have another podcast for you. We're going to keep the wheels of the Wills Band of the Week podcast rolling. So thanks, Grant.
You're welcome.
And we'll have you on again when we need you and when you have some interesting music to tell us about.
All right.
Like when a new exciting band comes out, like... I don't know. What's coming out that you're going to be really into?
Japan Droids?
Kesha, maybe?
No. No.
I think Kesha is recording something with the Flaming Lips.
Really?
Because she's trying to be like cutting edge or something.
Yeah. Key Dollar Sign Ha is doing that.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Japan Droids. Anything else you're looking forward to?
Place to Bury Strangers.
Right.
Again.
Isn't there a Jack White album coming out?
I don't care.
It might not be any good, right?
I don't know.
You know, for as much as Jack White is considered like this, like superhero now in rock and roll, I think he's kind of stagnating a little bit. Don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I think some of those White Stripes albums are just fantastic.
Yeah, Dead Weather thing. He was trying to do that, like
I don't think it's that great
thing too much, and I didn't really.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And then was the Dead Weather the one with the woman from The Kills?
Alison Mosshart.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think he needs to, I don't know what he needs to do, but he needs to do something to, you know, generate excitement. Because I'm having trouble having excitement about Jack White.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, he's still not very old, so he's got plenty of time to do stuff, right?
Yes, I think so.
So, yeah. How old do you think Jack White is? Is he like 35 now, maybe?
Sounds about right.
Should we see how good we are? Let's look it up.
Bet he's 36.
Yeah. He's 36.
Yep, that's close. Yep.
Hey, he isn't really Jack White by birth. He's John Anthony Gillis.
I was right that one
You were
time.
Saying that. You were saying, I bet that wasn't his given name.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't that seem like something we should have known already?
Yeah. Well, I sort of knew that. I just didn't know it.
It was like in the back of your head kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. John Anthony Gillis.
Can't wait for the new John Anthony Gillis album.
Yeah. What do you think Meg White is doing these days?
Nothing. At drumming.
Does she have a band called like the Meg White Band or something?
Her name
really is Megan Martha White, and she's 37. American drummer, best known for her work in the Detroit rock duo The White Stripes. Let's see. She's very shy, according to her Wikipedia page. And she married, in May 2009, she married guitarist Jackson Smith, son of musicians Patti Smith and Fred Sonic Smith. And the wedding was in Nashville in Jack White's backyard. Interesting. So I don't know. I haven't heard of her doing any music lately. Do you think if you got put in a band with Jack White, the band could be good?
I don't know. What would I be playing?
I don't know. Good question.
I don't know. I don't think I'd be good drumming for Jack White.
I was just thinking, you know, put yourself in a band with Jack White, it could kind of make you sound good, maybe. Like,
I don't know.
Maybe that's why. You know, although maybe she's underappreciated, right? I mean, there is always something that she seemed like, she wasn't completely on all the time, but somehow it worked in that whole context.
Yeah.
It added a little bit of like recklessness or something that kind of worked well for their band, I think.
Yeah.
Right? She wasn't like tight like, you know, the Foo Fighters drummer or something. Right?
No.
Whenever I think of bands that are tight, like almost too tight, I think of the Foo Fighters because they're almost like a computer. Like they're too perfect, I think.
Yeah, really. That's pretty much true.
Yeah. They could just use a drum machine, you know, or a like a sequencer just to play everything because they're so perfect.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's how they get to play in the Grammys and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I shouldn't be criticizing a band for being too perfect, but I kind of am. So, all right, I think that's what we've got. And so I think we're going to say good night. Or in our case, it's afternoon as we record this. So
good
we can
afternoon.
Say good afternoon. Yeah. So good afternoon. And we'll be back next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week.